Now we'd like to take a look at another country dealing with the aftermath of a devastating earthquake. Yesterday, Haiti's President René Préval was in Washington to meet with the U.S. President Barack Obama. And President Obama used the occasion to remind everybody of the scope of the disaster in Haiti.
It's as if the United States, in a terrible instant, lost nearly 8 million people. Or it's as if one-third of our country, 100 million Americans, suddenly had no home, no food, or water. That gives you a sense of, relative to the populations, what has happened in Haiti. No nation could respond to such a catastrophe alone.
A key part of the U.S. response has come in the form of soldiers on the ground who've done everything from distribute food to clearing rubble to offering medical care. Some 20,000 were there last month. That's down to about half that number now, both on the ground and at sea. But we wanted to know more about the experience of the troops in Haiti, so we called Seth Robson of the independent military newspaper Stars and Stripes. He's embedded with one of the units still working in the Port-au-Prince area, the 22nd Marine Expeditionary Unit, and he's with us now. Welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Hi there.
What kinds of assignments has the unit taken on since it arrived in Haiti?
I got here about 2.5 weeks ago, and that was 6 weeks after the quake. Some of the missions that I went on included rubble removal. If you're in downtown Port-au-Prince, where a lot of the buildings have fallen over, streets that were maybe four lanes wide were just maybe a few yards wide, so where maybe a single vehicle or people could walk, just between these huge piles of rubble where multi-story buildings had collapsed. And so a lot of the engineers were out there with bulldozers and things, just pushing that rubble to the side so that traffic could move.
Some of the things, though, that we've seen the military do are things that you think perhaps civilians could do, like distribute food and things of that sort. So why is there a particular need for the military at this point to do some of these jobs? And if so, why?
Well, I've seen that the military is still doing the kind of projects that basically civilian contractors or aid organisations, I'd assume that they would be the people that would normally do that kind of work. Why are the soldiers still doing it? I think they're still here and they're looking for something to occupy their time. You know, why the soldiers are still here, that's something that you might have to ask the higher-ups for their thinking on that. One thing I've heard is that it's reassuring for the population, for the local government people, to have that military presence here. I haven't seen any significant security threat that they'd be here to deal with.
And that leads to the question I was going to ask, is how are people reacting to the presence of the U.S. military there? Of course, I'm sure you know that this is a country that was occupied by the U.S. for nearly 20 years at the early 20th century, and so we're told that there's some ambivalence about that. Can I just ask what you're seeing in terms of how people are reacting?
I haven't seen any sort of animosity towards the U.S. troops here. In fact, I'd say that the population is overwhelmingly extremely positive and friendly. I see people smiling and cooperating with the troops. And, you know, everyone I talk to says they'd like us to stay.
Hmm. And you reported last week on an incident where there was gunfire between Haitian police and looters, or people who said were looters, and some bullets hit the tents that were occupied by U.S. troops. Is safety still a concern on this mission, or is that, you think, an isolated event?
Well, I think that's an isolated event. From what I've seen, I see virtually no crime in the streets here in Haiti. I feel safer wandering around here than I'd feel probably in some places in the Western world.
How are the troops responding to being there? How do they feel about the work that they're doing there?
I think they're proud, rightfully, for the work that they've done to help these people in such a terrible time. But the guys on the ground would love to go home and see their families again, and you know, they haven't got a date when they're going to redeploy and go home. And you know, I'm sure they're all just hanging out for that time when they can get home and see their families.
And you also talked about sort of a lot of the creativity that the military is employing in fulfilling their mission. You wrote about at one point they were distributing aid, and the crowd is getting a little restive. And what did they do?
Yeah, that was some guys from the Psychological Operations Unit attached to the 82nd Airborne. They were actually using music for crowd control, which I thought was pretty innovative.
What did they play?
These units. Well, they're just playing Western pop songs. They say that seems to be the most popular type of music, and that's the kind of thing that you hear on the local radio stations here. They've got a Humvee, which is equipped with a sound system, and when they're standing out there on the lines where they're trying to keep people back from the work that the soldiers are doing, they'll just play the music. And I saw it one day, and it, that definitely seemed to have a calming effect. The people that were on the other side of the barrier, I could see a few of them sort of nodding their heads and singing along with the music. And there was one guy that was really into it, and you know, he was pulling out a few dance moves there.
Was he really? And what were they playing?
They played a bit of Michael Jackson, I think Akon, and Wyclef Jean, who's obviously the Haitian musician.
Okay, you hear it. Yeah, Michael Jackson, Akon, and Wyclef Jean. Obviously, that there you go. So finally, before we let you go, I noticed that you had been, you have a lot of experience being embedded with troops and working overseas. You've been spent a lot of time in Iraq and Afghanistan, and I was wondering how this compares, just in terms of what you're seeing. Obviously, maybe the stress of being there isn't as great, I would imagine, but just in terms of what you're seeing in terms of the devastation, can you tell us how it compares?
Well, I can tell you that in my time in Iraq and Afghanistan, I've seen people injured by bombs or shot or bits of bodies after bombings. But over here, there's actually bodies lying around in the streets. You know, even 7 weeks after the earthquake, there's still dead bodies lying in the streets. So that's something that I think a lot of these soldiers haven't actually deployed before. You can see they don't have combat patches. And so that's something that they'll have to deal with, you know, seeing all that death and destruction. But yes, there isn't really the security threats. So I think, you know, when soldiers are going out, they don't have to wear the heavy gear that they wear in Iraq and Afghanistan, their Kevlar helmets and their body armour. And so that makes it a lot easier on their bodies. And obviously, you know, there's no stress of thinking that maybe one of your buddies is going to be blown up or killed. So that would make the mission a little bit easier to deal with.
Okay. Seth Robson is a journalist for Stars and Stripes. That's an independent publication that covers military affairs. He's embedded with the 22nd Marine Expeditionary Unit in Haiti, and he joined us on the phone from there. We thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thanks a lot, man.
If you want to know more about what the troops are doing in Haiti, you can go to npr.org, where you'll find a link to Seth Robson's reporting and photo slideshows. And that's our program for today. Our technical director is Kimberly Jones. Our theme music was composed by Underdog Entertainment with additional arrangements by Ian Honeyman. I'm Michelle Martin, and you've been listening to Tell Me More from NPR News and the African American Public Radio Consortium. Let's talk more tomorrow.